The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Little classic Eagles here on 710 KNUS. George Brockler with you. Hour two of four before we're replaced by Charlie Kirk, and then we go live and local again at 3 o'clock with Stephen Tubbs, going right to the VIP line to join us this morning, and that is the Republican nominee for governor trying to unseat Daddy Warbucks, Jared Polis. Heidi Ganahl, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Hey, tell me what's going on out there on the campaign trail. I know you got appropriately, I think, incensed at some of the information that's been coming out about crime in Colorado. As you know, that's a matter that's near and dear to my heart. What's going on out there?
Yeah, definitely hearing about crime a lot as I travel the state, not just in Denver, in places like Durango and Grand Junction, where homelessness and auto theft and property crime is going through the roof. In fact, they came out with some new stats this week that Colorado is number 47 out of 50 states in crime. Only three states have a worse problem than we do here. And I know you are very aware that fentanyl's a big part of that. So we've got to address that, and not in the weak way that Governor Polis and the legislature just did in the last session.
Well, it's across the board, this weakness in terms of holding folks accountable. It's the AG, it's the governor, it's the progressively dominated legislature. The stuff that we're hearing out there, and we had Rick Enstrom on. I know you know Rick, and Rick's a big supporter. We had Rick on to talk about the theft of his Enstrom Candies truck, you know, out of a place that formerly he thought this couldn't be a safer place to put my stuff. But there he is. And his son's truck was like broken into at DIA. I mean, places you just take for granted. Of course, my stuff's going to be safe here. It looks less and less like you can find places where it's safe. You may be able to set an overlay of where you can frack in Colorado with places where your car won't be stolen.
Well, I just heard a story yesterday about someone who's very involved in the Lone Tree City Council, or the city membership, and said that Park Meadows had a guy walk out to his car, was getting broken into. He called out the four kids. They were teenagers who were doing it. They all four turned around and pointed guns at him and took everything he had on him and then took off. They eventually found the guys because they took his phone and were able to track it. But this was a 16-year-old, I think a 15-year-old. It's ridiculous. That's a Park Meadows mall. This is coming to a neighborhood near you. And as governor, I'm going to take a very strong stand to get back to law and order in this state and replace the leaders at Department of Justice, Department of Corrections, Department of Public Safety. I had a good call with John Kellner yesterday about how we can work together to do that. And, you know, we're certainly in the same mindset about how to solve these problems, which is probably very similar to your mindset, George.
Tell me some of the things you're toying with right now that you're contemplating.
Well, like I said, we've got to replace leadership in the key agencies. We've got to address the parole board. I mean, that's one of the biggest issues, I believe, and one of the things that I can tackle as governor is I can replace a lot of those folks, not all of them because they roll over time, but replace the parole board. I've got to stop our status as a sanctuary state and get resources to the ICE agents, police officers, law enforcement down on the southern border of Colorado. When I travel down there, the look on the faces of law enforcement, oh my gosh, they're like, there's nothing we can do. Our hands are tied. We put somebody in jail. They're out the next day. We watch them drive by us as they traffic and make Colorado a more horrible place. And Governor Polis and Joe Biden will not let us do anything to fix the problem.
I think the other thing that you have powers, and I know you know this, to make a big difference on things like that bail and who goes where, when, and how are judges. Every single Supreme Court justice we have, and this isn't to malign them, there are some on there who I have tremendous respect for, are all appointed by Democrats. There is no longer any justice that was appointed by Bill Owens on that bench. And all of the other state trial courts and court of appeals judges that you have, those have all been, I don't know if there's a single judge left out there that was appointed by by a Republican. So you have the ability to change the judicial approach on this by putting people in place who appreciate the role that judges play in the public safety discussion.
Well, that's a great point. It's something I've been involved with, as you know, in the family court system, as we've seen a lot of corruption and bad things going on there with judges, as well as what's happening with the investigation around the Supreme Court and some of the things going on in the Justice Department with judges, et cetera. But what I've found is, it's really political these days. Judges are very political. And if we're going to play that game, we've got to put some very tough-minded law and order judges in place to help us solve these problems, to your point. And I'll do that for sure. But, you know, one of the things I think that we don't talk enough about is the cost of crime to our economy in Colorado. And it's billions and billions of dollars that Jared Polis and the Democrats are putting on the people of Colorado to deal with this crime. You think about the single mom who is struggling to get by. Inflation's already bad. Her car is stolen. It's maybe worth $3,000 or $4,000, which now isn't as big of a deal as a more expensive car getting stolen, according to the folks in Colorado leadership, which is crazy. But she gets her car stolen. All of a sudden, she can't get to work. She can't afford Uber or, you know, like those services to get to work. So what does she do? She stays home and she has less money and she has less ability to take care of her family. That's how it plays out.
It does play out that way. And you talk about the cost of crime. The Common Sense Institute, which is more than ably run by Kristen Strom out there, put together a cost of crime report that you can find at commonsenseinstituteco.org. That tries and does probably as comprehensive a method of evaluating this as anything I've seen out there to determine what the cost of crime is. And then we actually ended up doing a supplemental report to talk about just the fentanyl deaths and the opioid-related deaths. And it was something like $11 billion just on the opioid deaths. The cost of crime overall is in the tens of billions of dollars. And I agree with you, Heidi, the way that this legislature, and I've said this every year since I was elected, the legislature seems more and more offender friendly as opposed to victim focused and public safety focused. Every year they prove me right. And this last session was no different. And you'll recall that there was a bill that made possession of 1 to 4 grams, that's killing 2,000 human beings worth of fentanyl, a misdemeanor. And when people sat back and thought, that might not be smart. Maybe we make all fentanyl a felony. And you know who jumped on that train? Your opponent, the guy that signed the law into effect that made it a misdemeanor, all of a sudden says, you know what it turns out? I think fentanyl's like anthrax. Nonetheless, legislature still showed up, watered it down, still made it a misdemeanor under many circumstances and made it really hard to prove as a felony. I wonder if there aren't other changes in the law that you've contemplated, whether through conversations with Kellner or just on your own. This is what I want to see different.
Yeah, and we certainly need to address bail reform and truth in sentencing so that career criminals stay in jail and don't get back out. I believe, George, we have one of the highest recidivism rates in the country, which means bad guys are doing more bad stuff because they're not staying in jail, correct?
Top five.
Yep. Yeah, and we have the second highest number of deaths from fentanyl in the country. I mean, the stats are outrageous, and all of this has happened in the last few years under the watch of Jared Polis and the Democrats and Joe Biden. You know, they are partners in crime, no pun intended, to take our state to a place that's very dark and not the Colorado that we all grew up with. That's my goal as governor, is just to undo a lot of this stuff and get us back to that beautiful way of life we had where, you know, we as people were trusted to make good decisions for our business, our life, our families, and we had safe streets. We didn't have the number one rate for inflation in the entire country right now.
Wow. I did not know that. I am appreciative of this, and I hope you see this too. There are parts of the mainstream media at the local level here who are actually starting to ask some legitimate questions of the governor, which we haven't seen in over 3 years. But now they're starting to push back on that fraud that is the Colorado coshback or whatever it is that the governor called it. I like to see that. I'd like them to go one step farther in the area you're talking about this morning, and that is crime, and ask him questions like, why did you sign a bill allowing convicted drug dealers and car thieves to possess firearms? Why did you sign that? Why did you sign a bill making possession of what you called anthrax a misdemeanor? Well, I mean, like, I'd love to hear them push back and make him answer questions like that.
Well, George, I'm not so optimistic that the media is going to follow through on that, just as evidenced by the other day when we had the press conference for the Colorado GOP. And several of us did interviews with the press afterwards. And literally, they showed one tiny clip of a response that I gave, a very detailed response on how to go to zero income tax and go back to affordable housing in this state. And that's the game they play. So what we need everyone to do is share on social media, talk to your friends, share policy platforms when we put them out as candidates, because the media is not going to do that for us. They are on the side of Jared Polis and the Democrats and Joe Biden. They want us to lose. So we are up against a huge, you know, hill ahead when it comes to the media. But you know what? The people of Colorado are smart. They understand what's going on. And I think that's why the media is shifting a bit, because they're realizing that trust is so low in the media with the public, that they've got to do something to at least throw us a bone. But I do not believe they'll go all in. So we've got to be the voice that gets through the media. And God bless you for doing that, George, every morning. That helps. And the listeners need to just share with people who, you know, don't have the opportunity to hear your message and other, you know, media that is fair talk. And so that's on us. We have 3 months to go, less than 90 days to go till this election. Wow. Wow. We can either work really, really, really hard for the next 3 months and have a beautiful 8 years ahead, or we can kind of slow roll it as the voters of Colorado and, you know, be frustrated, sit on the sidelines, and have a miserable 4 years ahead if you win.
We're talking with Heidi Gnall, Republican nominee for governor. There's a reason to be skeptical of the media, and I know you know this because you lived it right out of the gates. And I think part of the reason that we're seeing what we're seeing from specifically Nine News is they are realizing that most of the big time Republican candidates for office have no interest in coming on their station and doing a debate with them, in large part because they question their motives. And you are exhibit A in that, because as you remember, when you rolled out your campaign, the first and only questions that they asked and aired were, why did you delete some tweets, and was the election stolen? Like, nothing to do with the dumpster fire that was Colorado at the time and the crime and the – nothing like that. It was just quick go to the things that – I don't know, Heidi. And since then, it's been more of the same. So – whether they've come around to an idea that maybe we should be a little more even-handed or appear so, or if this is the product of some sort of genuine attempt to try to be unbiased in going after politicians, it's just such a stark contrast with how they've treated your opponent over the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, and funny enough, I mean, Jared Polis will not answer questions either. He's kind of like Joe Biden. He does a press conference here and there when he wants to, and feeds us some, you know, baloney about giving Tabor refunds back, calling them Colorado cash back, when people need to know that that's their money. That's their money. That was a total election stunt. And, you know, he's doing it again with this, like this gear towards, hey, I'm helping kids by converting our buses to electric. When 60% of our kids in Colorado cannot read at grade level, do you think it might be a better option to put some money into tutors or give more resources to the teachers to teach our kids how to read, instead of going all in on this Green New Deal with Joe Biden and destroying our energy industry? And now, you know, taking away our kids' future by not giving them the resources they need to read or solve the suicide crisis among our kids or the drug addiction crisis among our kids.
Well, the good news is all those kids that can't read because the dollars were diverted to electric buses, they can be shown picture books about the evils of fossil fuel. So it's not all lost. I mean, you don't have to read to learn all that social stuff that you could get right there in school. Let me ask you some more questions about the law enforcement thing. And that is, how much of what you're seeing statewide is the product of the drubbing at the hands of those in power and the mainstream media that law enforcement took back during the George Floyd and post era here in Colorado?
Oh, it's terrible, George. You know, every chance I get, I walk up to law enforcement, say hello, introduce myself, ask them how things are going, what it's like on the front lines. They are demoralized. They are upset. They don't like what's happening to our community. They want to help. They want to solve the problems, and they're being told to stand down, whether it's through lack of resources or lack of ability to do their jobs or lack of keeping the people in jail. How frustrating must it be for them to arrest someone who's dealing fentanyl or hurting a child, hurting our community, and then see them back out on the streets within 24, 48 hours? It's nonsensical, and they truly have an intention to empty the jails. Well, even if you have the right intentions that you're going to put these folks into treatment or addiction or get them mental health support, there's nothing there. The mental health system is broken in Colorado. If we wanted to clean up the streets tomorrow, which I do, around homelessness, there's very little help. There's a lot of good nonprofits, and we're spending almost $100,000 per person on homelessness. But when you go to get an appointment for mental health care, or you go to get a place to go for addiction, there are no spots available. There are no appointments available for months. It's terrible.
Somebody texted in here amongst some other texts, and that is to ask a question about any upcoming debates that you're having with the governor.
Yeah, we've offered many, many debates. He's agreed to just a few, mostly in Denver. He's very resistant to doing them.
Guy doesn't go to Club 20. Guy doesn't know there's a western part of the state.
He will not be at Club 20, but I will. I will be at every single place they invite me, and I am excited to take him on and call him out for his record and make him answer for it to the people of Colorado. He's also insinuated that he's too busy in September to do any debates, which is comical. It's just him trying to avoid being called out for his record on stage. You know, George, they tried to take me out in the primaries, you well know.
Oh,
they
yeah.
gave Jared Polis and the Democrats put $3 million in to help my opponent. They tried to take me out in the regent race. So this is going to be number three, and we're going to win for a third time. Third time's a charm, and we'll get back our beautiful state when I'm the first mom in the governor's mansion.
That would be sweet if that were true, Heidi, and I want that to be true. I do think overnight things would be different. I also appreciate, though, that he's not really running for re-election. I think you know that. He is auditioning to stay in the public eye long enough to launch a presidential campaign or something. I don't think anybody believes this is the last stop on his train.
Yeah, he cares more about his political career than he does about the people of Colorado. And that's evidenced by him following in line with everything that Joe Biden does. I don't know if you saw, but he was on David Axelrod's podcast a couple weeks ago on CNN, and he was asked about Biden running again. He said, I support Joe Biden. It's about his competency. I almost spit out my drink. I was like, I'm sorry, what did he just say? He is the least competent president, and Jared Polis puts on a good show, but he's incompetent as far as it goes running Colorado. We have the highest crime rates, the highest, huge mental health issue. We have the number one inflation in the country. Our state is a hot mess right now. We've got to fix it. And him being president so he can do this to the rest of the country is not okay.
I think you should honestly accommodate him on the debates in this way. I think you travel around the state. You set up debates on the western slope, northeast, northwest, and southeast and southwest. And you invite him to appear at least remotely. And so you can have a TV screen there where he can sit in Boulder or Denver and debate you while you are there in person. The visual, the optics of that alone would really send the right message, and that is this guy's just too self-important to waste his time in places where he doesn't think he's going to win the majority of votes. I'd love to moderate that debate.
Well, I would happily oblige, George. I think that'd be a lot of fun, and it would show people across the state who he really is. I get the sense that they understand that he's conning everybody, even with the Tabor thing most recently. But everyone across the state has this level of anxiety right now, whether they're a parent that's seeing what happens in the classroom as we go back to school, or whether they are an energy worker or a restaurant owner or a law enforcement officer, a farmer or rancher. All these folks are very upset about what's happening. My job as the top of the ticket and the next governor is to bring everybody together to vote, to get him out, and then to lead our state and listen to the people of Colorado and be a governor for the people of Colorado, not for my political career going forward.
Last question, and I want to end on this criminal thing. We talked about, and you said you go up and you thank the men and women in blue. I think that's so important. I got to see some of them yesterday in leadership and have conversations about the recruiting struggles that they're having. I mean, Paul Pazin, the chief of Denver Police, was on this show yesterday, Heidi, and said, look, for us to recover from the couple hundred officers deficit with normal attrition, it's going to take us four-ish years, even with aggressive, productive recruiting and training. It's going to take us 4 years to get back to where we were pre-George Floyd and all that. How bad is it for the public and elected officials to malign law enforcement officers in the performance of their duties, even if they use onesie-twosies examples? Because the George Floyd thing was horrific. I mean, it was clearly a crime. It was clearly a felony. It was clear. But to extrapolate that out, how damning and damaging is that to law enforcement to have that kind of maligning of law enforcement go on?
It's terrible. And as the daughter of a police officer, my dad was a reserve police officer and then the volunteer deputy marshal in Palmer Lake as he got older. But, you know, I was raised with a healthy respect for law and order, and they are putting their lives on the line every day, even in the Park Meadows parking lot in Lone Tree, Colorado, to keep us safe. And next time we need them, when we call and they're not there because there's no funding, there's no resources, that is a healthy wake-up call to the people of Colorado that we've got to have their backs, whether it's funding or the laws or the leadership as governor, as attorney general. We will have the back of law enforcement across the state. I'm not saying there aren't problems and issues that we've got to work through, but dang, we've got to have that. We've got to provide them support. Right now, it is just demoralizing what's happening from our governor and our legislature and from the federal government. When you keep the southern border of the country wide open to let a lot of fentanyl and bad people come across into the state of Colorado, we're not that far away, and you don't up against that, that tells us exactly what Jared Polis stands for, and that's for his career, not for Colorado.
Heidi Gunnell, Republican nominee for governor. I know we'll end up talking with you again here in the less than 90 days that remain. Thanks for taking time out of the tough campaign week to give us a call.
Well, thanks, George. I appreciate it. And I'll see you out on the trail.
Hey, how can folks reach out to you to get more information or to help you?
Go to HeidiForGov.com. We need everybody volunteering, donating. You can donate up to $1,250 per person. And then also talking and sharing on social media. We need all hands up for 90 days to get this done.
Heidi Gunnell, thank you so much. We'll talk with you soon. Thanks for calling in. Listen, when we come back, I do want to have a conversation with you about some of this that we talked about with Heidi, but on a different scale, on a federal scale, as we recircle and go back to the discussion that we've had about what took place in Mar-a-Lago back this past Monday. A bunch of texts pouring in about the judge who signed the warrant and all that other stuff. We'll hash through all that stuff when we come back, but I do, before we go, want to ask you where you think the heart of your home is, because for us, it's the kitchen, right? Like the way it's where it's located, the way it's used. I mean, if I'm going to ever see the kids all in one place at one time, it isn't in each of their individual bedrooms where they hunker down. It isn't downstairs with the TV and the video games and all that other stuff. It's in the kitchen. That is the heart of your home. Shouldn't it be the area that shines the most? Your kitchen island lighting masterpiece or the lighting artwork that hangs above your dining table should be spectacular. You now have the ability to do that by visiting Urban Lights Denver. It's the Love Your Space sale, and you get 40% off of lighting and decor. The way you get to find out what's available for you, the kind of magic you can do in that heart of your home, isn't to just go online. And you can certainly do that. You can go to urbanlightsdenver.com. That's great. But the best thing to do is to go out to their 20,000 square foot lighting, ceiling fan, and home decor showroom in Denver. They were the National Lighting Showroom of the Year. It's worth the trip. You'll get the best prices guaranteed. And by the way, 40% off, man, it is hard to do better than that. I guess 50% off would be better, but 40% off is awesome. Urban Lights friendly lighting experts are ready to answer all of your questions, help you find the perfect lights. They're just so conveniently located right off of about I-25 in Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi. They're open 7 days a week. You can shop on site or online. Let Urban Lights guide you to the perfect light. When we come back, we're going to talk about law enforcement. We're going to talk about Mar-a-Lago, and you are going to help me to have that conversation at 303-696-1971. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Talk This Way with George Brockler here on 710 KNUS. Phone line starting to light up here. We're talking today about something that's actually been in the news for a couple days, but apparently it's just fallen under the purview of a bunch of folks, and that is the magistrate, the federal magistrate, Reinhardt, who had signed off on the warrant, the search warrant, had previously recused himself from a lawsuit between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and some Democrats. And that now has caught fire, apparently, even though it was out there since, honestly, I think someone told me about it on Twitter the day that the search warrant was executed. But now it seems to be a big deal here. So here are some of these texts. Deep state scrambling after Judicial Watch sues to uncover Russia collusion hoax records. We've got that. I think these were the records they were looking for. Okay, the Russia collusion hoax records. How about this? Judge who signed criminal court warrant recused himself 2 months ago in a civil case. This is worse than a banana republic. This is huge news. Maybe, I guess it could be huge news. I don't know. And you don't know either, unless I'm not reading something that you have seen here. I don't see anything so far that tells me why the judge recused. Is it a legitimate question to ask? You betcha. Sure it is. But I just don't know yet. And so to jump to the conclusion that a judge's recusal on one case involving the president means that they could never be impartial for purposes of evaluating probable cause for a search warrant, that's a pretty far reach. I mean, it could be true. Could be true. But you can't just get there from here without more. I don't understand how we've jumped to that conclusion. But there's callers on the line here. Let's get to them. Ken, you're on 710 KNUS. Yeah. What do you think, Ken?
This is he. I'm the guy that gave you that message.
Oh, great.
All
thanks,
you have to
Ken.
Do is listen to Jay Sekulo from the ACLJ, who's a very reliable source and a very upstanding citizen and someone that knows the law and knows these things. He actually held up the document of this guy that recused himself and then referenced several tweets and other posts that this guy has made anti-Trump. And et cetera, et cetera.
Wait a minute. What did you mean he held up the document of the recusal?
So he's a 30 or 40 year attorney for the American Center for Law and Justice.
Okay.
And I mean, it's a very reputable group. So basically, he held up the actual document because he went and got it. Our Judicial Watch did, perhaps. They uncovered this recusal of this judge not even 2 months ago in a civil case, which was. Trump versus Clinton.
Okay,
you cannot recuse yourself as an anti-Trumper.
It's a him.
Something like
it's
that.
It's Bruce.
Bruce Reinhardt.
Yeah.
You can't do that, and then expect that you're going to be fine to sign off on a warrant in a criminal case against someone you know that you don't like. That's not impartial.
Yeah, but who
says the
public? Who says that he recused himself because he doesn't like President Trump? Where did you get that?
That's documented. That's basically referenced by Jay Sekulo. You can go to the podcast. It's
I'm looking at
podcast.
The notice of recusal right now. I'll read you every single word on it, and you tell me where you find that he says it's because I don't like President Trump, or even words to that effect.
You got to draw the lines between the two. It's not in the recusal itself.
Well, where is it? Where do we know that that's himself. Why he recused himself? Where do we know that?
Sekulo referenced some posts and other social media that he had. And I think it was Twitter or I'm not sure which one, but I think it was Twitter. And I'm sure you can all you do is search the ACLJ information at their website.
Well, here's what it says. The undersigned magistrate judge to whom the above styled cause has been assigned hereby recuses himself and refers the case to the clerk of court for reassignment pursuant to 28 USC 455, dated at West Palm Beach, Florida, this 22nd. It doesn't really reveal anything. I mean, it cites
this. That does show 2 months ago he recused himself on a case.
Okay, that's an important inquiry.
But Trump versus Clinton.
But how do you know why he did it?
This is something that I think anyone can just draw the line. I mean, it's the way that
why do judges recuse themselves?
Because they can't be impartial.
Okay, they can't be impartial. How does that impartiality mean that he doesn't like Trump?
Anything with Trump's name on it, he's a Trump hater. And
how do you know that?
It's not something you can't hide it.
How do you know this guy hates Trump? If there's a tweet out there.
Because Jay Sekulo referenced it. He referenced it.
You're going to have to show me that, buddy, because I think Jay Sekulo is probably a superhuman being. I don't know him, but you're going to have to give me something.
Go to Judicial Watch. Go to ACLJ. They'll both have it. Or I can look it up.
And what did you see in that caused you to conclude that this guy hates Trump?
If you have social media posts that cause you to have to, I mean, this is also the same guy that was involved with Epstein. You do realize that, right?
No, and tell me again how that means he can't be fair in evaluating probable cause for a search warrant. And it may be there, man, but what I don't appreciate about the direction a lot of this goes is we get one fact and we're willing to jump 10 facts down the road and say, therefore, no, I mean, if you can get me there, I'll join you, but I won't do it off of a recusal.
The ACLJ and Jay Sekulow knows that he's reputable and he knows his stuff.
So if he says it, it's true.
He argues at the UN. I mean, he's like an amazing attorney. He's not a liar. I've never known him to misrepresent. He's always spoke the truth. And you guys need to be aware of it. That's all. You can judge it for yourself. Everyone has their own right to their opinion. But the facts will come out. And this is a banana republic. We joke.
Banana republic? You believe that?
Well, when you have a – this is absolutely just a political witch hunt. I mean, they tried to.
Back up to the Banana Republic comment. Why do you say that?
Because a judge who is not impartial cannot recuse himself 2 months just prior to this and then go ahead and sign off on. And that's probably why they went to him, because they knew he'd sign off on it. He should, at the very least, George, have brought in another attorney, or I'm sorry, another judge.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at exactly the stuff you've referenced me. And have you read this? Have you read what these anti-Trump tweets are?
I have not.
Okay, well, I'll read them to you. This is what's in this article. He wrote, this is something to do with a Facebook post that was screenshotted.
That he referenced.
It says, yeah, in a Facebook post screenshotted by some guy, Reinhart wrote, quote, "I generally ignore the president-elect's tweets, but not this one. John Lewis arguably has done more to make America great than any living citizen. Last August, I took my son to the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma so he could understand the kind of courage and sacrifice required to live in a democratic society. John Lewis embodies that spirit. Although I've never met him, he is one of my heroes." Wow, that sounds like he hates President Trump.
That's not it. No, there's more than that. There's more than that, and it was derogatory, and it was related to what you just talked about, but there's more than that.
Here's one. This one, maybe this is the one, because it's in that zip code. It says, there was something, it says, Trump tweeted, Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart, not to mention the crime-infested, rather than falsely complaining about the election results. This is Trump. And then it looks like there was a response, or this doesn't seem responsive, but it's another tweet they found or something, a Facebook post. And it says, thank you, Robert Reich, which that instantly gives you gas, for saying what many of us feel. John Lewis is the conscience of America. Donald Trump doesn't have the moral stature to kiss John Lewis's feet, Reinhart added. Or as Joseph Welch said to Joseph McCarthy, at long last, have you no sense of decency? Likewise, Reinhart shared Facebook posts that indicate he is the magistrate in question. In 2018, he shared a screenshot of an announcement from former Governor Rick Scott announcing the appointment of Carolyn Bell to the 15th Judicial Circuit. So proud of my wife. So Rick Scott, super liberal, I mean, arch conservative, nominated his wife to the bench. That's interesting.
I wouldn't call him an arch conservative, first of all. Second of all, I think that does make the case. I mean, you've got talking about someone's feet, and that's a negative.
That's not the only thing
that's out there. I may not be able to find it. You may not be able to find it. I could be wrong.
I'm looking. I'm looking, man.
From Jay Sekulow, I trust him like I trust you. I mean, the truth is the truth. We don't try to say
need to be evaluated. There's no doubt about it. But I just don't know that means that he couldn't have evaluated whether probable cause existed for a search.
I make one last comment?
Of course.
Sorry to interrupt. I don't want to take any more time. But
no, go ahead.
As far as nuclear codes,
when I was saying, hey, what could it be? Could
you
it
were
be
joking,
nuclear?
Right?
Yeah, of course, of course.
I mean, obviously, that's not.
No, there's no
but
chance.
They actually
of that.
Made that comment. I mean, that's what they're trying to follow.
Well, they did say they thought this is something I read in an article where they were wondering if it had something to do with some nuclear related documents. Billy thought that was a reference to stuff they'd already pulled out of the house from the 15 prior boxes that Trump's people turned back over to the National Archives. So I don't know if that's what they're looking for right now or not. And I told Billy this off air, and I've said it on air too, and that is, if it's really nuclear stuff, You can't wait 6 months or 7 months. If it's that important, you would have acted more quickly. I mean, you can't say, well, we were negotiating with them. I mean, if it's a matter of national security, do you negotiate with the person that has them? I mean, that makes me super skeptical as well. I appreciate the phone call. Hey, listen, Ben and everybody else at 303-696-1971, we're going to come back from a break and continue these calls after we talk with the superstars at Alpine Planning. Until then, it's me, George Brockler, on the George Show, 710 KNUS. 710 KNUS. Callers on the line, texters really hitting hard our little text machine here. They're all just going to have to wait for just a moment as we get to have the conversation of the week about all things financial with our buddy Gabe from Alpine Planning. Gabe, how are you?
I'm well, sir. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Again, screw the Mariners. It just did not work out well. It has not worked out well yet. I think the Yankees are saving it for the playoffs because holy smokes.
Well, I'll keep it short today. I know you got quite a few opinions that need to get on the air, but we're starting off on the green today this morning, sir. Dow is currently up 157. NASDAQ is up 84. And the S&P is up 23. So coming off the what we perceive to be a positive inflation report, it's kind of ironic that we're celebrating 8.5% year-over-year inflation, but it did come in lower than expectations. And I also think what's interesting, George, of the 500 companies in the S&P 500, 453 of them have already reported this season, and about over 75 of them have beat expectations, which is a bit higher than normal. Generally, it's in the 60 range. So there are some silver linings out there for the market, but I also think there's some risks. You're seeing a lot of companies cut back jobs, cut back advertising, and really change their strategy, just preparing themselves for potential R-word, I'll say it. But as always, you have some listeners that need some help with their plan, their portfolio. Brian, Amy, myself, we'd love to have them, and just stay cool this weekend, all right?
Gabe, based on what you've said, is it your expectation that 500 plus thousand job creation explosion number we had just recently, that's a blip, that we're going to start to see a downward trend on that?
No, because I think from a labor market perspective, right, there's still more job openings than people looking for jobs, right? And so even though you've sort of seen in the headlines the Teslas or a lot of these big tech companies, frankly, either laying off people or pausing the hiring process, we still have some slack in the economy. Unemployment is still at historical lows. So I think really just getting more people into the labor market is what we really need to achieve to get some GDP growth.
Gabe, great information. I hope you have a tremendous weekend. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call Gabe today and the rest of that fantastic team that you have with Amy and Brian. 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. It's going to be hot out there this weekend, Gabe. I hope you wear some sunscreen.
I need a lifeguard, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
You be well.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Lots of text here about the judge and how is it possible that this guy could have signed off on this warrant, and the Banana Republic thing's just too strong. And here's why I say that and why I think this, whether this is a recusable background, I don't know, that justifies recusal, I don't know. But I will say this, when someone signs off on a warrant finding probable cause, that decision is reviewable by a later judge and certainly the appellate court. And if that court finds, you know what, there was not probable cause here, then all the stuff, every single shred of it that they recovered by virtue of that search warrant goes the way of the dodo. It is gone, cannot be used, but by fruit of the poisonous tree, get out. That's sort of how that stuff goes. If there was no probable cause for the search warrant, cannot use that stuff. That's just how we do it, at least here in America and in the state of Colorado. So the idea of a banana republic, it's just too strong because it makes it sound like nobody can review these decisions. There's no outlet for mistakes that are made, whether they're intentional or otherwise. That's just not the case. Now, I think this stuff is definitely worth scrutiny here. Guy recuses himself from the Clinton campaign. I just don't know why. The Clinton versus Trump. I don't know why. He doesn't really say. The statute or the code section that he cites, this 28 U.S.C. 455, has a whole bunch of different reasons for it. I mean, one of the reasons you might recuse yourself as a judge is you practice law with one of the other attorneys. I don't know if that's what happened here. I'd like to know more. And maybe it's because he feels like I couldn't be fair to President Trump. If that's true, if the reason for the recusal, the thus far undisclosed reason for the recusal, is that he didn't think he could be fair towards that party, that's Trump, then yeah, probably should not have been the one to sign off on a warrant that searches his house. I agree with that. But I'm just not going to jump to that conclusion until we get that. And a couple Facebook posts where he takes issue with something the president said regarding John Lewis, who many in America revere as a civil rights icon. You don't have to agree with that. Just saying he takes issue with that. I get it. It says he donated to Obama. He did twice. He did twice. He also donated to Jeb Bush. So it's not a Republican or Democrat thing, but maybe it's, you know what, it's an anti-Trump thing. He donated to Jeb Bush because he's anti-Trump. Or maybe he donated to Jeb Bush because Jeb was the governor of the state he lives in. I just don't know. People are like, oh, he worked for the Epstein thing. Yeah, he represented former employees of Epstein, and I think they got immunity. I presume they got immunity because they were cooperators and they were going to help get that. That's my guess. That's my guess as to what happened. Now, I can get there. I can get there with you and conclude maybe the dude should have recused himself. But I can't with just this information. There's got to be some more information here, and maybe we'll find out what that is. But man, there is a rush to just prejudge this thing. And to suggest that this guy should have recused himself is important, but that's not the same thing as saying there was no probable cause to do this. And that gets us to the question of what documents are available out there. Ben, you're on 710 KNUS. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I like always hearing your opinions on stuff like this because you were a former DA and have actually know like the legal aspects of
some
all
of
this
it,
stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now, like Donald Trump is out there, you know, pitching a fit and saying, well, I hope that the court, you know, lets me produce this stuff. But there's nothing preventing him from actually just producing the warrant and the stuff that he's already been given, right? There's nothing illegal about that, is there?
I don't think so. The one thing I'd say that gives me just a little bit of pause on that is if it's under seal by the court, that seal, I'm sure, binds the government from releasing it. I'm just not sure if it binds the president from releasing it, although if that were the case, he could have rushed to court that day and say, hey, release this stuff. What I'm more interested in, and the warrant's going to be somewhat, you know, illuminating, but what I really want them to do is to cut loose the affidavit that supports it, the application for the warrant, where the FBI agents attest under penalty of perjury and really under oath, these are all the things that we think are true, that we know are true, that we are alleging for purposes of gaining access to his home. That's what you and I want to see. And so if I'm President Trump, I fight to have that released unless there's something in there that's maybe damning or bad. I don't know.
I feel like if they release the affidavit, they're going to find someone named Tom DeMantis who looks suspiciously like Ron DeSantis in a wig and a mustache.
That's who the mole is on the inner circle.
Yeah. By the way, here's a Ron DeSantis bumper sticker. You should vote for him in the 2024 election.
I don't think it'll be Ron, but you do bring up a really good point, and that is that we may end up through that discovering who the mole is. Hey, great phone call, Ben. I appreciate that. Good way to end off. We're going to pick this back up when we get done with a couple high-speed VIP interviews, one with Aurora City Councilman Dustin Zvonik, and then David McGoy is back to tell us about this ongoing revelation of what's going on with our judicial branch. When we come back, it's George Brockman on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn.
deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.